The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In order to support our show, we need the help of some great advertisers. And we want to make sure those advertisers are ones that you'll actually want to hear about. But we need to learn a little bit more about you to make that possible. So go to podsurvey.com/Florio and take a quick anonymous survey that will help us get to know you better. That way, we can bring on advertisers you won't want to skip. Once you've completed the quick survey, you can enter for a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's podsurvey.com/Florio, F-L-O-R-I-O. Thanks for your help.
There's always a place to just listen. And I learn things from our players. I learn things from other coaches. I learn things from our fans. When I'm at Home Depot and somebody says, "Just before I die, coach, just before I die." Depending on how old they look, I say, "How much time do I actually have?"
That's good. Happy Monday. It might be your last. Who knows? Might be my last. Who knows? It's PFT Live. It's draft week. It's an honor and a privilege for everyone who's about to be involuntarily forced to go live in a town where maybe they don't want to live, play for a team they don't want to play for.
You've been one of those? You haven't seen them? You haven't been seeing them and been like, "Hey, one to just once before I go. He didn't ask you?
What do you mean? I am one of them.
He didn't, I know. But you weren't one of those? You didn't ask, like, "Hey, one before we go." And he never looked at you and was like, "You know, how much time I got? I need a little time here."
I'd like to think that he believes I've got a good chance of outliving him as coach of the Vikings, just the way things go. I'd like to think I got 20 years left.
Yeah.
And so unless he plans to be Bill Belichick, which would be fine with me, he ain't going to be there for 20 years. It reminds me of the time that Dirk Cutter and I got a little crossways because I dared to ask a real question during an interview when he was on the program, and he chewed me out face to face at the league meetings. And I really wanted to say, I was restraining myself and taking it, but I really wanted to say, "Hey, Dirk, I'm going to be doing my job a hell of a lot longer than you're doing your job." Oh, and guess what?
What's that? Damn, you're on a roll. Good morning. Hey, you
my
don't know.
Hurts.
It might be your last Monday. Don't mess with me. Up yours, Dirk Cutter. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Monday Football Talk.
Well, it was the damnedest thing because he waited for me specifically. I had no idea he was upset. It was 2 months after the fact. It was the league meeting.
Yeah.
They handed these giant blue fishbowl drinks as you're walking in. I was too stupid to say no thank you. I should have just said no thank you. And I say, "Hey, it's Dirk Cutter," like a dumbass. I go walking over into the uppercut, and he chews me out. And my wife wasn't far away, and my wife's wondering, like, what the hell's going on? I thought it was completely inappropriate by him. I took it at the time. I got madder and madder about it after the fact, and I'm still upset about it today.
Apparently.
There's no time and no place. No, it was a social gathering. It was no time and no place to act like a dick, Dirk. But he did. He did. Yeah. And that's fine. Because again, I was right. I'm doing my job a lot longer than he was doing
his.
Hey,
tell your dad I said hi, all right?
That's on him.
Okay.
Tell your dad I said hello. All right. Maybe Dirk will come back. Maybe Dirk will be the next coach of the Chargers when Harbaugh's done. Who knows? Maybe it'll swing back around. I don't know where he is right now. I got a feeling.
If karma was real, he'd be the coach of the Vikings one day. If that was real, it'd be like, yes, yes, he's the coach of the Vikings. This is great. That would be the ideal spot to come back.
I feel like I just ate a hamburger off the floor at LaGuardia.
Hey, yeah, I've heard some people do that. Be careful, okay? It's not good for your digestive system.
By the way,
yeah.
You know, I get this weird thing with my back every couple of years.
Oh, you got
and
it.
I got it right now.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's not as bad as it was the last time I had it.
You had it in the fall, right? So it wasn't a couple of years.
22.
Okay.
Fall of 22. I claim my back's bothering me anytime you come at me with your giant E.T. meat hook hands. Hey, yeah, Leon, my back's bothering me. I'm afraid that just one of those is going to, like, screw it up. The SI joint, sacroiliac joint, it gets out of line a little bit. And sometimes it's like the whole thing. I just got it like on one side, and I got to be real careful how I move. But that's put me in a salty mood today.
Yeah, right.
Saltier than usual.
Yeah, right.
Because as long as I sit still, it's fine. I start moving around. I was like,
gosh.
And then.
Yeah, I wish I was to annoy you.
My Crohn's disease, which rarely gives me a problem, it was really acting up on Friday.
Damn, right.
Friday night into Saturday.
Woo.
A lot of pain. And for me, therapy is as simple as going down to the barn and lighting a Padron, and I start smoking a cigar, and it goes away. It is the damnedest thing. I have
that
no idea where there's any therapeutic evidence whatsoever, but I start smoking a cigar because I feel like I have pain all along the large intestine that goes around and down, and I can feel it in there. I start smoking a cigar, and it's gone.
Wow.
It's the magic cure. It's unbelievable.
Well, Kevin O'Connell, after this weekend, he might have to look at his watch and go, damn, maybe I don't have that much time. The guy's falling apart here. I mean, bacchiotomy, Crohn's, he's got it all going on. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe you won't last longer than he will. We'll see about that, slugger. All right. I'm sorry about your back. That stinks. It really does. It's the worst.
I'll get through it. It'll go away.
I know.
You have it from time to time.
I do.
It goes away.
It is. It's the worst. What else? The rest of your weekend was good, though? All good?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. You know, it's the weekend before the draft. I love my weekends at home. I will never take for granted the off-season weekends. Relax, chill, get ready for the draft, create a bunch of content, work on some other things, just sleep in on Saturday and Sunday, not have to worry about getting to the airport to catch a plane, not have to worry about being at the studio. It's just nice to have a couple of days a week, half of the year, almost half of the year, where you can just, you know, sleep till you wake up. That is underrated. The ability to sleep till you wake up is grossly underrated.
Oh, I hear that. I do. I am a little bit in the, you know, spot right now where the kids always got something on the weekend. So, like, sleeping in is not a given anymore. You know, waking up early to take my son to a baseball tournament or whatever else. So, you know, I you got to cherish those moments, I guess, is what we're saying. You know, you definitely do. But, yeah, it is good. I hear you. And, like, what are you talking about? Like, you're just talking about, like, you've been at home for a Saturday and Sunday for, like, 10 weeks now. You're acting like it's new. Like, it's like a new.
I enjoy it every week. I enjoy it every week. Every week. I appreciate it. Because I know once football season starts, it's a nonstop roller coaster for 20 weeks. And it's fine. Once you're strapped in and off you go, it is what it is. But I appreciate when it's not. It's just a great time of year. It's spring. All the flowers are out. The trees are green. It, like, explodes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It happens different times in different parts of the Northeast. We're far enough south that, I mean, it has exploded.
Right.
Like, all the leaves are back. And it happened like that.
We're getting there. We definitely have some that are out. It is very pretty here. It started early this year because our winter wasn't aggressive. We're, you know, still rainy and a little cold here for even this time of the year, right? It's like when I woke up this morning and got in my car, it was 34 degrees. So we're not out of the woods as far as that's concerned yet. But, like, at least days are sunny. Grass is greener. It's popping out. Right. So, yeah, we're getting there. I jumped in the pool a few times. Freezing cold.
Wow.
But I jumped in. I'm, like, doing, like, after my workout cold pool plunge. That's how I'm kind of justifying it. So it's around the corner, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No pool yet for me this year.
Right. We know. Shocker.
Pool's not open yet. Waiting for the guy to come open the pool. I've asked nicely a couple of times, and hopefully he'll respond and without me having to ask. Not nicely, although, you know, then he never comes. So I'm still nice about it. But we'd like to get it open. We'd like to be out on the patio. It's there. Last week, a couple of days in the 80s. So we're getting there. Okay, so Philip, what position does Philip play in baseball?
He's a pitcher, right? And then third base and center field, right? He's up there. Philip runs well. He's got a strong arm, right? So he plays those positions. Their team's okay. They're not great, but they're good. But it's such a fun thing to do. I mean, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, even though it's waking up early and an hour drive and you're like, oh, crap, right, like on a Saturday morning, it's still the joy of sitting outside, watching your kid play ball and enjoy himself. There's nothing that beats that.
I mean, how, when he's 13, you get him in the car for an hour, that's a win. Although you might not want him in the car for an hour at 13.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's good. It's good for now. Most of the time, I don't want him around at for an hour for anything. The car, it's okay. He gets to play DJ. You know, he looks at his phone a little bit. It's usually a pretty soothing conversation and a good time.
Now, if I recall correctly, he has not been afflicted with the disease of being left-handed, correct?
No, yeah, he's right-handed all the way. He's like Big Phil, after who he's named after. He's a right-hander all the way.
Well, that's good. Well, yeah. And I'm not picking on Chris. I too have been afflicted with the disease
of being lefty,
left-handed.
Yes.
So, and the world discriminates against lefties, as evidenced by the fact that every day I came home from school when I was a kid, I had pencil graphite stains
down my
left hand from dragging across and dragging that lead, that graphite across every day, left to right, should have been right to left. Okay, let's go straight
through and
let's get started.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
150 years, the Kentucky Derby's been an icon of racing and luxury. First Saturday in May, the world turns its attention here.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby. And they're into the stretch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the place to be.
The 150th Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 4th, on NBC and Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage. And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
The Jaden Daniels, there it is. We're 3 days away. The draft begins with pick number 2. At this point, I can't even believe they're taking bets on who the first overall pick's going to be. I mean, I guess, I don't know, what would the Bears do with it? What would cause the Bears to not draft Caleb Williams at this point? There's no other team that's looking at him. There's no other team he's visited. There's no team that's worked him out that we know of. And why would he say yes to a workout with any other team? It's the Bears.
Yeah.
Bears and Caleb Williams. So the draft begins at number 2. And there is, you know, still a lingering question about whether or not
100%.
Jaden Daniels wants to go to the Commanders.
Yes.
Sparked by the top golf cluster fudge that they did last week. And
yeah.
I don't care what their reasoning for it was, what kind of sociological experiment they decided to unleash on these guys. The guy who's the presumptive number 2 overall pick, by all appearances, not a big fan of showing up for his visit with the Commanders and finding out there's 3 other top quarterbacks there too. I mean, what? Like, oh, we'd like to see how he reacts to that. I saw somebody say that, and I haven't seen this confirmed with any clarity, but Adam Peters, the GM, and maybe the head coach Dan Quinn actually went to pick up Jaden Daniels at the airport and told him that there's going to be others, I guess, just to see how he reacts. Like, I don't like this messing with the, like, we're messing with these guys to see how they react. Like, there's got to be a better way to get a window into a guy's character than messing with them, than pressing their buttons. And we know they do that in these questions, and we don't hear as many crazy stories about outlandish questions being asked just to see how these guys react. How do they react under pressure? How do they react when you know, they're disappointed or whatever the case may be? But I think the whole thing, and I know Commanders fans get pissed off when I say it, but I don't care. This isn't a knock on the Commanders. This is a knock on anyone that would do this. You have the number two overall pick. It's your most important draft pick in years. It's a quarterback who's going to be the face of your franchise, and you're screwing around with these stupid games that no one else has played, and you expect it all to work out just fine. My opinion is it's stupid.
Yeah,
and it's not directed at the Commanders. It's whoever would have done it.
Right.
I would say it's stupid.
Yes, right. No, listen, the whole league thinks it's stupid. Like, there's no defense for this anymore. I don't care. Who cares what Joey from Twitter says? It is stupid. It's your first chance to make an impression on the guy that's going to run your organization. It's your first chance to get him in the building and, right, you know, show him, and, hey, this is your spot. This is awesome. You know, it's all on the up and up. What they did is, like, it's Harry high school BS, right? Like, what's that going to glean? And why don't you really know about the guy already anyways? You've had forever here, right? You should already know the answers to these questions, how he handles adversity, whatever. This isn't even adversity. This is bull crap. This is like a personal shot. So that's where I don't understand where they think they're going to, like, glean something that's different about this. Wait, the guy that was supposed to go there and is clearly the number two quarterback in the draft, and everybody agrees that, and Washington should be so lucky to have you. Oh, hey, welcome here. Hey, you know, we brought a few others in, too, because we like them, too. We want to see them, too. Like, what is that BS? Where does that go down? That's ridiculous. And like you said, it should be more of an intimate, this is the guy getting the keys to your organization. It makes no sense. It's like it was like a, you know, I don't know what they were trying to figure out here. It's like some high school coaches got in a locker room, and they're like, let's get them all together and see how they compete. Right, let's get, and it's like, no, this is the NFL, and it's a little deeper than that, and they're not competing against each other, and they really have nothing to do with each other, and they're not going to be working with each other when you draft one of them. So what is the point? I don't get it. They've messed up badly. They're put themselves in a bad spot. Right, Mike? Here's the big thing, right? I'm sorry I'm rambling, but I wanted to get to this point, and I got animated. Jaden Daniels was having cold feet about the Washington Commanders before all this. That's the one thing I've learned over the last week, that he has had cold feet about Washington and been giving them soft signals of like, I don't know how much I really want to go there. I want to go with the Raiders and Antonio Pierce. He's been vocal about that, and he's been trying to give Washington the cold shoulder. And now Washington's something where he's got legitimate reason to go, wait, are you serious? That's dysfunctional and weird what you did to me on our first chance to meet each other and grow a great relationship. And I'm sure he and his camp are pissed off about it. Sorry, London.
Yeah. I've been hearing the same things about
right.
Antonio Pierce and Jaden Daniels. Antonio Pierce was the recruiting coordinator at Arizona State when Daniels first went there. So there's a history there.
Right.
I don't know how the Raiders get up to number two.
That's the question.
But if the Commanders pass, and we're going to talk later about number three, maybe the Patriots pass at number three. I don't know. I mean, this is where it changes the
draft, in my opinion, Mike. This is where I think now with Kevin O'Connell sending a bouquet of flowers to the Crafts and the New England in the trade, I think with New England, who might have been willing to trade at number three to get out, now the fact that, wait, Washington messed this up and they might take somebody else now because Jaden Daniels doesn't want to go there, I don't think New England makes a move till draft night now to get a feel until what that is. Because now, if Jaden Daniels is there at three, I don't think the Patriots will trade out. I think they'll take him and they'll go, we got our guy.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
This entire thing.
Yeah.
And this is a point that Pete reminded me of, and I think it's a good point, and I think we've made it in the past. The whole reason that Washington did what it did is because it can, because it's a draft system, because you don't have to recruit your talent at this level. As free agents, yes. As incoming players, the teams hold all the power. If you've got that pick, you decide who's going to be drafted, and you get to say, this is how it's going to be. You don't have to worry about making the player want to play for you. But you still want a potential franchise quarterback to want to play for
exactly.
you. That's why I say a no-trade clause doesn't matter in a veteran quarterback starting-level contract, because you want that guy to want to be there, because he's the guy who's showing up early. He's the guy who's staying late. He's the guy who's holding teammates accountable. He's the member of management who's out on the shop floor doing the bidding of the people who run the factory. You want that guy to want it. And you need to make Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, whichever of the four they take, you need that guy to believe we really want you here and we want to be here. And we are sensitive to that. We're not going to treat you like an interchangeable piece of a football machine, even though you are. We're not going to treat you that way. We're going to treat you in a way that makes you want to take up the flag and be the Commanders quarterback for years to come. And look, I understand Commanders fans. The good news is Daniel Snyder's gone. The unknown news is what's going to happen with new management. One of the things I mentioned on Friday when Chris was in his hammock with a pina colada, well, he was probably sound asleep at the time I said it, Josh Harris, new owner, much more involved than people thought he was going to be. And look, the only explanation that makes any sense for doing the four-man square dance was that was the day that the owner was available to meet with them. That day. Can't take 4 days. Got three football teams or three sports teams and other business interests. I got one day. Bring them all in that day. I'll meet with them that day. And if Jaden Daniels was feeling salty that day, and if Josh Harris detected it, it might have made him skew his belief toward somebody else.
Right.
So it's just a weird situation. And I look at it this way. The NFL is a copycat league. Okay? Right? I don't think anybody's going to be copying this.
Nobody is.
I don't think we're going to hear about this next year with the teams with the top picks in the draft. Oh, we got to do the Washington Commanders Topgolf thing. Oh, that works like a charm. Let's bring in all the top prospects and let's see how they do swinging a club out at the... And that's the other thing. We were talking about this on Friday, too. Like, you know, what if the guy's never golfed before? Like, you're trying to create this weird social setting to see how everyone acts. Well, if you're picking an activity that one of the guys is good at and one of the other guys has never even done,
right.
That changes everything.
Yeah, I hear you there. No, I hear you there, too. I was never a big golfer, and every now and then we'd have, like, a golfing quarterback outing, and I'd be like, ah, gosh. I mean, I'll go, but I'm not, like, you know, I'm going to shoot 100 and something, 105. I wasn't that guy. Right. And I want to always be like, because I feel like my coaches would look at me and go, oh, you don't hit the golf ball that well. I'd be like, I want to be like, hey, mother effer, let's go on the basketball court and watch me just drain threes in your face all day long. I didn't waste my time, you know, silver spoon playing golf growing up. I was in the court hooping. All right. So that used to. Yes. But you're right about that. Right. Not all these kids are going to be playing that. I don't even know what to think of how this could have come to be, Mike. There's two thoughts, and I don't have inside info on this to how it came to be. I'm with you and your thought that the owner's busy and this was his one day, which the first thing I'd raise my hand and go, so what? Find five other days. Screw you. That's stupid. Good job starting your organization off drafting a quarterback in a weird note. That's just weird. It is. You know, and again, I don't know. Do they buckle here? Does it matter? Do they, even though they know Jaden Daniels doesn't like them, does that, you know, we've had that happen before. It's not the first time in history we've had a player not kind of want to go somewhere and the team still drafts them and it works out. So we'll see where that goes. But yeah, it's odd. And the Josh Harris thing, certainly, Mike, I'm with you there. Is it that? Or here's the other thing, too, that just comes to my mind. I could see this very much being a Dan Quinn, Pete Carroll type of thing as well. I don't know. Either way, there wasn't enough smart people in that meeting to go, wait, guys, this doesn't make sense. This is a little crazy. I don't really like this. And one, we're not going to really get a feel for the guys in totality and really hunker in on them and know what they're all about. That's where I think you miss out. And you don't get to delve into some nuance with the player, what they know on the chalkboard, what they know up on a walkthrough, all of that. Instead, you're looking how they react after they chip the ball onto the green on the third hole. That I don't give a crap about that.
As our friend Big Cat always says, dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. So the dysfunctional thing to do in this instance would be to say, damn the torpedoes, we're taking Jaden Daniels even if he doesn't want to be here. That's the dysfunctional thing. If they truly believe he doesn't want to be there and they have another guy that they think would be acceptable, saying we're just going to take this guy because we can, that's the dysfunctional thing. Will it ultimately work? I don't know. But, you know, we are getting closer and closer to guys at the top of the draft exerting their power. And I think the challenge is to not do it in a way that is so obvious that you get a huge blowback from the media and from the fans. I think that's where players are treading lightly. So it has to be more discreet. You have to be careful. You can't anger a fan base and make them hate you with a passion before you've ever even put on a helmet at the NFL level.
I think that's why he's national pundits subtle about all this.
And you know, we there are national voices that will be far less forgiving than we are. I mean, I'm leading the cheers for this. I want someone to do it because I think we need to cross that bridge, just like we crossed the bridge of the top prospects for so-so college football teams not playing in the bowl game. Make a business decision. Everybody else makes business decisions. Why can't the players make business decisions? So, again, there'd be plenty of others that would crap all over Jaden Daniels or any other prospect that tries to overtly get away from a team. That's the balance that Jaden Daniels is trying to strike. And with that said, Chris, Jaden Daniels was on the Nightcap show with Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco and was asked this question in a roundabout way because they're not trying, as best I could tell, to create a big issue here. It's just a hypothetical. How would you feel if Antonio Pierce, the Raiders head coach, drafted you? Here's what Jaden Daniels had to say.
I don't know how they're going to pull it off. but, I mean, that's above my pay grade, man. But
I wouldn't do it. I ain't trading. Why would I give up that? You're a trade for much of the quarterback, Jay.
Yeah. Hey, man.
I ain't giving that up.
Mm-mm. Hey, man. Just AP, man. AP, just as a human being, you know, he the right coach for that team. You know, just him and the intensity that it brings, you know, he challenged people. He was challenging me at 18. So I know if I was to go to the Raiders, I'm not saying I'm going to go there or I want to go there. You know, mm-hmm. I want to go wherever my name called. But if I was to go to the Raiders, I know as soon as I step foot, he's going to challenge me. He don't care how high I was drafted, none of that. You know, he's going to challenge me every day.
Now, look, he said the right thing. I'll go wherever my name is called. But big smile talking about Antonio Pierce. It confirms a lot of the chatter that we're hearing behind the scenes. He wants Pierce and Pierce wants him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the Raiders can pull it off. I don't know how they would pull it off to get up to number two to get him, or number three if the Commanders pass on Jaden Daniels. But you could just tell in the way he answered that. It was kind of a wistful and happy, wow, that would be pretty good, but yeah, I don't know how they're going to pull it off.
I don't know either, right? I mean, you know, the draft process started out with this talk of Antonio Pierce and Jaden Daniels, and I think then, you know, people like myself and the important decision makers and whatever else, you start to watch the quarterback film, and you're like, well, Jaden Daniels ain't going to be there at 13. That ain't happening, right? So that's I think that connection was made early on, and then it was like, wait, now it's too far away. It's not going to happen. And now, you know, it's back on the radar a little bit because of the way Washington handles things. And, you know, I think slowly behind the scenes, Jaden Daniels and his camp are trying to let it be known that they're not totally happy with Washington and that they'd be willing to go somewhere else. And maybe they'd like that better. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to just come out and say that. This isn't going to be Eli thing. Nothing like that. Right, I think he realizes, like you said, hey, I still might help in Washington. It's not the worst that I'm going to make it happen, and we'll see where it goes from there. But you know, the big thing is like what you said. I mean, the Raiders are a team where, I mean, it's they don't have enough assets. I wouldn't promote that trade or be like, hey, I think you should do it. You know, I think Jaden Daniels is really damn good. He's awesome, but they're a team that's got a lot of holes in planning of the future. And man, to make that type of move, we've seen that wasn't that long ago, 13-3. I mean, you're gonna have to get swap picks, probably give two future picks, first round picks, and some other stuff to go along with that. And the Raiders aren't talented enough of a football team right now, in my opinion, to be trading away those type of assets just for one guy.
If you know that you are getting a guy who is going to be a a generational talent, future Hall of Famer, but nobody knows that with any of these guys coming into the draft. We know that there is a high failure rate. So the question is, how much do you put on the table, and will it be enough to get them to say yes? You know, 4 years ago, the Bengals didn't want any offers from the Dolphins for Joe Burrow. They were not going to take a trade at any amount. They were locked in on Joe Burrow, and their stubbornness, which was ill-advised at the time when you don't know what Joe Burrow is going to be at the NFL level, it paid off for them because they got a guy who has been great. Now, he's had a couple of serious injuries, but when he's played, he's been great, and he's the Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs killer in the AFC, far more effective at that than Josh Allen or any other quarterback in the conference, but they didn't know that. Most teams will do the rational thing where they look at the guy they could have, they look at what they get in return. This is the argument we were making before we had a chance to talk to Caleb Williams and realized the Bears aren't trading out of that pick. You can get a lot more stuff. And if these draft picks are lottery tickets, give me more tickets. Give me more chances because I'm going to get more great players that way instead of going all eggs in one basket. But you have to have a team that's willing to give up all that stuff to put all the eggs in one basket. And you have to have another team that's willing to say, we'd rather have the eggs spread out into a bunch of different baskets. And it has to come together just right. It's almost like, you know, with a Devontae Adams or a Tyreek Hill trade. You need one team that doesn't want to pay the receiver a lot of money and would rather have the draft picks. And you have another team that is willing to pay the receiver a crap load of money and give up all the draft picks. And it's got to come together just right. That's the challenge. Will it come together in a way that the Commanders are willing to do it, or some other team, whether it's the Vikings, whether it's the Raiders, whether it's the Giants, whether it's any team that may be lurking to pop up to number two, would they put something on the table? Could they do it? I mean, the Raiders could, yeah, in theory, right, if the Commanders are willing to listen. I don't know whether or not they're willing to listen, but I think everybody's at least listening at this stage of the game. The question is there enough to get someone to say, you got a deal?
Yeah, no, it's a game changing thing here for 7 days, you know, before the draft when all this kind of happened this last week. You know, I'm in the midst of today later, right? Trying to I'm going to unveil my mock draft, and that was one of the things that, you know, you sat there and thought about, right? Was like, oh man, wait, how is this going to play out? Right? Is Washington okay now? They don't take Jaden Daniels, right? I don't have inside info here, but by all due accounts, it sounds like, oh, they might be one of the few teams that has Drake May way up there on their board. So they might go Drake May, which then I would think lands to New England taking Jaden Daniels, and then it's like, oh, where does it go from there, right? If it goes like chalk, what I expect it to, what we all expect it to, Caleb Williams, right? Jaden Daniels, Commanders. And now it's the pick number three there. I expect, yes, New England to be looking to trade down a little bit. That's how I would look at it. I'd be looking at them as one of those teams, like you said, to have more tickets, more chances, you know, to take shots on players instead of the all in aspect on one guy. That's to me where it's a game changer right there. And that's where, you know, depending on that number two pick and where they go, I think it'll dictate maybe 3, 4, and 5 about some trade possibilities there and how that all shakes out. And I think that's what's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds on Thursday night.
It would be amazing if at the end of the day, Drake May goes number two, because throughout football season, yeah, it was Caleb Williams, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Drake May.
Right.
And then football season ends, coaches get involved in the scouting, people like you put out your list, and you've got May at number six out of six quarterbacks.
Right.
And the idea that he would climb back up and end up at the very top right after Caleb Williams, strange.
Yeah.
And, you know, I haven't detected a lot of pushback from the May camp to all the talk that's been out there possibly knocking him down.
No,
and maybe they're confident
you.
They didn't need to do it.
Yes.
Maybe at the end of the day, you know what? We don't need to push back. We'll be fine. This is all noise. This is all chatter. At the end of the day, Drake is going to be taken high, and maybe they're going to be vindicated. But if I was Drake May, I'd be getting very nervous throughout the past couple of months, because I went from being the presumed number two to who knows where to now possibly number two.
No, it feels like they have inside info that there's one or two teams that like them, right, for sure, and they're comfortable with that, where they're going, like, if we're on the board here, we're going to go. It has that feel, totally, right? And so it does feel like there's a little bit of a confidence out there as far as that. But, like, the Drake May thing is again, as we know, it only takes one or two teams. But I do know that it's all over the place enough, for sure, right? It's not like, you know, you talk to the league and it's like everybody's got Drake May as, one, you know, the second or third quarterback. No way. Absolutely not. He is more towards my number on a lot of teams where he's down the list a little bit. But, again, teams look at it. It's the draft. It's about elite traits. It's about potential. If you watch Drake May's highlights, you're going to go, wow, right? And some, like we've always talked about with, like, the old Bill Walsh thing, right? You show me a guy do it a few times, I believe I can bring that out on a consistent basis. Yeah, and, you know, I believe that more times than not, right? But I think it's few and far between with these great throws, and it's all over the places. And if you heard me say, and I know other people out there feel the same way in the NFL, there's some mechanical things where you go, I don't know if that's going to be that easily fixed. I don't care who it is. And right, Minnesota with Josh McCown there, who has a relationship with them going back to high school, do they feel extra confident that they can fix them and they know what they are because of that relationship, right? There's a lot of things that are kind of cool, neat, and interesting to unpack about this Commanders, Drake May, Patriots, Vikings, O'Connell, McCown, and how that all shakes out. That's why the draft is going to be awesome this week.
I will say this.
Yeah.
The Vikings have a much better insight into who Drake May really is.
Definitely.
By virtue of Josh McCown coaching him in high school than any Top Golf outing ever would have revealed to anyone under any circumstances.
Right.
Josh McCown knows how this kid is wired. He knows what makes him tick. He was there in his formative years, and he was influencing him in his formative years. They would know what they're getting if they get him. Doesn't mean they want him, but they would know what they're getting.
Well, what I would say is, like, top three, top five guys don't get worse in their last year of college football. Like, I'd like somebody to explain that to me. And I know everyone's going to tell me stats and he lost a receiver. It doesn't matter about that. Nobody cares about that. None of the evaluators are like, well, last year he threw for 4,000 and this year it's 3,700. We're going to drop him down a round. No, it's about what's there, like we talk about all the time. The decisions, hey, this guy's open. Can you put it on target? It doesn't matter if it's last year's receiver or this year's receiver. This guy is open right here. Can we throw it on target? There's enough of that to go around. People making these excuses that and all that. But my big thing with that would be, one, I've never seen a great quarterback miss the throws Drake May has. I've never seen a great quarterback have the pro day workout that Drake May had, where he threw some balls that were off the radar. Like I know, I talked to people that were there at it too. They were like, whoa, like they never saw a guy that was top three in the draft have throws like that and then be resorted to basically lobbing the ball at the end because he wasn't sure about the control aspect. That to me is where it's really interesting, because there's me and other guys in the NFL that are like, whoa, alarm, 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 alarm. And then, of course, there's a few teams that look at it and go, wait, I saw that bomb in week four, and it was perfect, and I feel like I could get them to do that all the time. And that's why the draft is awesome, and, you know, there's disagreements there with that thought.
The other great unknown in all this is what teams think of a guy when they do the private workout where there's no cameras. We don't see what the guy does.
Right.
And the team is able to put him through something more specific to their desires, their needs, their offense, et cetera. That's how the Vikings fell in love with Teddy Bridgewater after he had a horrible pro day workout a decade ago. Took off the gloves, had a horrible pro day workout. No way he's a first round
What's
pick.
A better Vikings test the for the quarterback to have the day? You know you're going to have the day. The cameras are all there, and they fail it. And we're going to go, this is where people get biased. This is where they're stuck on their grade they had 2 years ago. And they give them the benefit of the doubt. And it's like, wait, you're talking about all these psychology tests and all this, and here was the day for him to perform. There was pressure. There was a camera and all that. And he shit the bed, and we're going to go, well, let's give him another chance. And that to me is hilarious, too. I hear people say that, and I go, say that out loud again, and then play it back for yourself and hear that. And then tell me if you think that's the number three pick of the draft. Sorry, Manchester, for that
or two
bad word.
Or right. two, yeah. belated apology. You're on fire today. But you know, look, you make a great point, because the question becomes, how will any of these players perform at the next level?
Yeah.
And you try to project based on everything you have. What happens when the red light goes on?
Right.
Will he step up? Will he step off? How is this guy going to react when you crank things up? And I think how he handled himself at the Topgolf outing, probably a little more instructive than how others did. Because, you know, look, and I appreciate the fact that we go to the scouting combine and the NFL makes these guys available and they come and they sit and they talk with us. But Drake May seemed a little nervous talking to us. You know, the starting every response with, yeah, that's kind of like working out your anxiety a little bit. And that's fine. And he can work through that. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Right.
But when you're faced with a pick like this at the top of the draft, you have to factor in an objective, dispassionate projection of whether or not when it's time to play under the lights, prime time, everyone's watching, postseason. Look at what Joe Burrow does. He grabs that moment. You want guys that are going to grab that moment, not shrink in that moment. And some people do. And that's not a criticism. It's just a reality of how different players end up on different levels. You could be a great quarterback in the NFL for many years, but be bad in prime time and bad in play. Gee, where have we heard that before? Guy's great at 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday. You put him at night, different guy. Put him in a playoff game, different guy. More tentative, more hesitant. Doesn't want to make a big mistake in a big moment. Be too careful with the ball when everyone's watching. That's it. That's human. And that's the challenge for these teams, to peel back every layer and level and get to what that guy is going to do in that moment. I don't know. I hate to think I'm coming around on the whole Topgolf thing, but I don't know. At least as it relates to assessing whether or not Drake May is going to step up or step off, that might have been a valuable
experiment. Well, Drake May, you brought that up, and like it's the first thing I thought. Like, I'm sure Drake May had a great visit. He was like, we all thought he was going Jaden Daniels to come in. I got a chance. He was probably like, oh, hey, hello, everybody. Hey, yes, hello, it's great to be here. How you doing? Oh, Jaden Daniels, you're pissed off? Screw you. Screw you, Jaden Daniels. I mean, that's the thought of what's going through his head. So he was on cloud nine. He's like, oh, my gosh, I got a chance to be number two. You know, and in Washington, yeah, they're going to be like, oh, gosh, he's very happy to be here. Well, yeah, of course he is. Like, one guy got screwed over. You're propping him up. It's weird. We didn't expect this to even be a conversation here. So, you know, that's where it's really interesting. But, yeah, I mean, this 2-3 situation in the draft, right, and then the Patriots sitting there, yeah, I would think they're going to want a king's ransom even though they're going to trade down, because here's the other thing with the Patriots too. Even though they might want to trade down, they got to be careful a little bit. The Patriots have Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappe as their quarterbacks right now. You want me to repeat that? The Patriots have Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappe right now. They have to draft a quarterback. So I'm sure there's a spot there where they're like, it's got to be rich. It's got to be a lot, because one, it's a big move. They need the position there. And, you know, they don't want to come away with nothing here. That's the big thing, I think, at the end of the day.
We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. You mentioned a king's ransom. It could be a Vikings ransom that's ultimately offered.
Uh-oh.
See what I did there. If the Patriots have that opportunity to move down from the number three spot. We spin back to something that happened, I think, on Friday.
Yeah.
It was brought to my attention on X, formerly known as Twitter. Mm. It was going viral on Saturday. I watched it, and I had to write something about it because it is instructive as to what Vikings coach Kevin O'Connell is thinking. We saw him at the top of the show. This is the far more relevant bite from a church event. You can't get away from the football questions less than a week before the draft at any event. An audience member with the question, you're going to hear the question, you're going to hear the answer from Kevin O'Connell. Are you paying close attention Roll the tape.
And when you're comparing Drake May to JJ, and when you can see JJ operating in the Harbaugh system, he's got really good feet. He looks really, you know, fine. But then Drake May, the arm talent and the throws and the anticipating windows, how do you sort of compare that and be like, you know what, even though his feet aren't, you know, exactly how we need him, he could be, say, like a Josh Allen or something?
For a couple of years, I've been kind of known as the quarterback killer when it comes to the draft in Eagan. So I have, you know, had to, you know, in a lot of ways fight off some mistakes from being made, mainly because the evaluation process I go through, I think about the things that are fixable. I think about the things that are coachable. And then you think about the things that, you know, you could coach another 15 years with the player and you might not be able to fit. And I believe the footwork in the lower half of any quarterback can be fixed with the proper coaching and teaching. And ultimately, when you feel like you find that guy, then you got to hope that 31 other teams are complicit in making sure that they can become a Minnesota Viking. But we only need one team to be complicit. Right. And hopefully Patriots. We find that team and that
maybe
person's
you
on
your
our
Patriots
team.
Connection at three.
Right? You know, I
don't know.
I may or may not have sent a nice bouquet of flowers to Robert Kraft the other day, but...
Patriots, by the way, drafted Kevin O'Connell way back when. That's where he got his start in the NFL. There's a lot there.
There is.
And the thing that really jumps out to me, it's kind of odd to hear the phrase killer while he's at a church event. Quarterback killer.
Seriously, God How is many? Like, wait, the NFL took Sunday, and now we got the faith and life, and they're still talking about football.
Faith and life, and he's a quarterback killer. But Chris... It makes me wonder, because they've only been there for 2 years.
Yeah.
This is draft number three for Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell. I wonder how many quarterbacks he had shot down the past couple of years.
Right.
And it gives us a little window.
Yeah.
Into why Kirk Cousins isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
I get the feeling from the day Kwesi Adofo-Mensah got there, we got to get another quarterback. We got to get a better quarterback. Remember the comments from July of 2022?
Right.
Kind of a roundabout slap at Kirk Cousins. Yep. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Patrick Mahomes. And it sounds like Kevin O'Connell has been deflecting opportunities to draft this guy or that guy.
Are you serious? You think this guy's better than the guy we got? Like, yeah, that's probably what he's doing. You're right. It sounds like that. He's been the quarterback killer because he's probably been like, wait, you guys are so hungry to replace him. And then he's the guy that brings everybody in and goes, you're seeing this? Like, look at this throw. Look at this decision. Look at this throw. We don't want this guy. So he's become that guy. Hey, he's a quarterback guru like we've talked about. He's an ex-quarterback. He knows what he's looking for, what he wants, right? You know, and that's what he said there. It's interesting. You know, again, for them to say only one team, I mean, that just tells you it all right there. They're trying to trade up, period. That's the first thing you can glean from that. The second thing is, hey, when he talks about that mechanical stuff, you know, what is he really saying there, right? I don't know. You could take it both ways. I could take it like, ooh, he thinks he can fix a guy like Drake May, and I could also take it like, yeah, you could fix people's feet, but Drake May has the other part, too, that you're not sure can be fixed if you're with him for 15 years. There's some upper body mechanics and things within the motion and how he takes the ball away that are odd and weird that I go are not conducive to being a consistent, great thrower of the football. So it's like that part of it, I didn't know what – I know you took it on text like, oh, you think he can fix May. I kind of took it when I first saw it to go – he sees things in May that he doesn't think he can fix, and it's not going to be him. So, again, I don't know, and I have no inside feel or, knowledge of what the Vikings want or like in this situation.
The question becomes what mechanical problems can and can't be fixed. He's confident he can deal with footwork and lower half of any quarterback. He believes the footwork and lower half can be fixed. The upper half, and this has – me doing flashbacks to 2010 when Tim Tebow was coming out in the draft and you were still in the NFL. The big project was to change that long catapult Byron Leftwich throwing motion that Tim Tebow had. Right. And it was all about he's compact now. He's compact now. And, yeah, he's compact, but what happens when he goes out into a game? He's going to do what he's always done.
Right.
He's got thousands of reps where no one ever fixed his elongated throwing motion that is going to result in interception after interception and misthrow after misthrow at the NFL level. It's not going to work. So that's the challenge. What can be fixed? What can't be fixed? And I don't think it's an accident that O'Connell said footwork and lower half, not upper half. So, you know, you may be onto something here. I don't know who they're trying to get at number three, if that's where they go, or number two, if that's where they ultimately have to go. I don't know. But they did work out Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
Late last week.
Yeah.
They did work him out.
Right.
And, you know, even if Jaden Daniels lights up at the chance of playing for Antonio Pierce, you light up a little bit more when you realize that Kevin O'Connell is going to get you to your ceiling, whatever your ceiling is. We've seen that with Kirk Cousins. We've seen that with Josh Dobbs. We saw that with Nick Mullins, for crying out loud, yeah, in a couple of 400-yard passing games. He'll get you to your ceiling, whatever your ceiling is. The question is, what is your ceiling based upon the things he can and can't fix?
Yeah, that's where he's tough. Because he's a guru and he's got great ability and confidence in himself, it's hard to kind of gauge what the guy you might think he might like, right? Now, again, I think everybody's going to like Jaden Daniels. Like, that's just, hey, he's big, he could throw it, and, of course, the running is special, right? And as we've talked about, I mean, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't – it's like 1-2 in that conversation there, right? But, yeah, what exactly does he look at? What does he think he can fix? Who does he think will fit his offense, right? Who is that guy? Did they have a personal workout with J.J. McCarthy? I don't know why I'm blanking out on that, whether they did. I want to say yes, but I can't remember exactly. Do you remember that, Mike? But
I don't remember off the top of my head. I think they did, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
But J.J., too, like I look at him, and again, I go, I think he'd fit that offense. I think he's got a little bit of that. He's got a little bit of a longer motion that you'd like to tighten up a little bit, but it's not bad. He's got a very strong arm. He played in the offense that was kind of similar to that, you know, in Michigan, underneath the center, play action pass, hit deep crossers, do all that. J.J. McCarthy's made for the O'Connell offense that way, and we know he's a better athlete than Kirk Cousins too. So that's where I'm a little bit like, huh, I don't know what his cup of tea is, what exactly he likes, what he thinks he can fix, and what he can't fix. And that's where, you know, it's the great enigma right now as far as O'Connell and the Vikings.
It is obvious, though, that O'Connell wants the guy who will be the guy, but not a guy who won't be. That's where it gets interesting. If they can't trade up to get whoever O'Connell views as truly special, what happens? And does he get overruled at some point and they trade up for somebody that he really doesn't think is sufficiently good enough because somebody above him in the organization says, we're confident you'll turn this guy into a franchise quarterback. You might not think so. We think so. This is the guy we're taking. This is the guy we need. It can't be Sam Darnold for a year. This is our chance to get a difference maker. So you may not be a Michael Penix Jr. fan, but that's who we're going to trade up to get, if that's what it is. If I'm not saying that he is or he isn't, but I get the impression, and this is not based on anything that we are hearing, this is just reading between the tea leaves, as you would say, Jaden Daniels or Drake May, that feels like gut feeling pasta and meatballs. That feels like what they're looking at with possibly J.J. McCarthy in the mix as well. And I just wonder, as Kevin O'Connell was saying the things he was saying, did he realize it's going to end up being out? You need to look, pro tip, any coach, any GM, anything you say into a microphone can and will be used against you if it can be used against you. It's going to get out there. And the more interesting it is, the more inevitable it is that it's going to get out there, especially in a situation like this. So don't get too loose with your thoughts because of the context. Even though it's not a press conference, the press is going to catch wind of it like they did with this, and then it becomes a big deal. How's it not a big deal? How can you ignore that? How can you look the other way on it? Oh, it's tipping the Vikings' hand. Well, you shouldn't have pulled your cards away from your vest under any circumstances. Don't show your cards to anyone, anywhere, any place, anytime. Because, Chris, what that does, what does it do? Well, what a coincidence. On Sunday morning, Mike Reese of ESPN.com saying that the Patriots won an unprecedented haul for the third overall pick. Hell yes, they do, because they know who wants it, and they know they're desperate. They're desperate to replace Kirk Cousins. They're desperate to get one of these top guys. We want an unprecedented haul. We're willing to do business with you as long as you give us something that no one's ever gotten to go up this far, because we know how badly you want to do it.
Yeah, what is that? That's what I want to know. I mean, is what the 49ers had to give up to go up to number three, you know, to get Trey Lance? Is that unprecedented? Right? Is that, I mean, does that classify? I mean, damn, that's pretty good.
Well, it's got to be more than that.
I guess. I know.
It's got to be more than that. It's got to be better than that.
Wow. I mean, that's strong, right? I mean, I don't know if I feel like you're going to do much better than that right there, right? I mean, swapping of this year's first-round picks and then getting two other picks on top of that, a second-round pick, and am I missing something else a part of that trade? I think that was about it. And well, a round three pick,
here's
too?
What it was. Oof. Here's what it was. Here's what it was. 49ers had the 12th overall pick in 21. They added a 2022 first-round pick and a 23 first-round pick to go up to number three overall. The Vikings have 11, not 12. They have 11 and 23. It's not a first-round pick next year. And what they could do is, I mean, basically, instead of the 2026 first-round pick, you do 23 overall and first-round pick next year, which is a far more attractive package. That's a more attractive package.
Yeah.
Because you're basically swapping out a first-round pick 2 years from now for the 23rd overall pick this year as the Patriots are trying to reboot their roster. So, you know, they could paint that as a win. 11-23 and a first-rounder next year plus a third-rounder is a win. Here's the question. When the phone rings, are they going to ask for the other JJ? Are they going to ask for Justin Jefferson? And what are the Vikings going to do? Now, I don't know if the Patriots want him, because you're ultimately going to have to pay him. I wrote about this over the weekend. Whoever acquires this guy, if the Vikings don't keep him, because I said last week pretty strongly and firmly, and I still believe this, if you're not going to pay him, trade him to someone who will. It's got to be someone who will. And I don't know that that meets with the Patriots model, Chris. I mean, remember that when they had Randy Moss, I mean, it was $9 million a year, and the market wasn't $9 million a year. I don't see them giving $30 million plus per year to Justin Jefferson, especially if the quarterbacks are Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappe.
I agreed, you know. And again, it's you know, they need multiple players. They need lots of stuff. I mean, when you look at New England, like we've discussed, I mean, you know, there's a lot of areas and holes to that need, you know, adjusting and filling and everything. I mean, they're a team that's, you know, not sitting in a pretty spot right now. So, you know, I don't look at that to be their type of move either. Let's make it about this guy. We don't even have a quarterback yet. We're going to pay him. And now, hey, he's going to be a part of this team where it's like, whoa, hey, you know, we got some rebuilding to do, JJ. So, you know, I know we paid you like a top receiver, but, yeah, we're going to have a young quarterback, and it's going to take a little while here, and we're going to have to fill in the rest of the holes on the roster here. That doesn't sound right when you say that out loud. I don't see that happening either. So, yeah, I'm with you there. I don't think that makes sense.
I think if they're willing to move Justin Jefferson, and I don't know that they are, but until they pay him, it has to be on the radar screen. The better chance is to offer him to number two, to the Commanders. And then the Commanders could pick the best quarterback left, Penix, at number 11 with the Vikings pick. And then they have pick number 20. I don't know what all they would get. With Justin Jefferson, I don't know how much you'd have to add to go from 11 to 2. Maybe it's just 11
and
Jefferson,
11.
And that gets the
done. It might get the deal done. I don't think that's crazy to say right there. I don't. I mean, with that caliber of a player, yes. I think that probably would get the deal done.
And then the Vikings would have presumably Jaden Daniels at 2 overall, and they could draft a receiver at 23 if that's what they're thinking of doing to replace Justin Jefferson that way. Although the last time they used the first-round pick to replace Stephon Diggs, they got Justin Jefferson. The time before that, it was Troy Williamson after Randy Moss. It didn't work out very well for the Vikings. So, again, let's not get caught up in the actual slot. It's the player. You're trading for the player. And that's what makes it different this year. And that's why the Patriots, I think, are posturing even more.
Right.
Because if it's a better player than you ordinarily would get at number three, especially when you look at what happened with Trey Lance. If it's a better player, you want more. But it's still a crapshoot. There's still no guarantee.
No.
That's the other side of it.
No.
There's no guarantee that that one guy is going to be great. So if you can get other guys, other picks, other opportunities to improve your team, at some point the Vikings put enough out there. But, Chris, I just interpret this all as the Patriots will do it for the right price. This isn't like the Bengals 4 years ago.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't even bother calling us Miami Dolphins. Agreed. We're not giving you the first overall pick. We don't care what you offer.
Yep.
The Patriots will say yes to something.
I think so, too. But this little, you know, kerfuffle with Washington and Jaden Daniels and the fact that Jaden Daniels might be on the board, I think maybe makes them think about it. And at the very least, to your point, I think if Jaden Daniels at the board at number three and somebody wants to trade in there, they're going to go, wait, there's a lot of teams that got Jaden Daniels the number two quarterback. I think there'll be a lot of interest there, and I think that'll make the value of that trade go up just a hair bit more as compared to if somebody else was on the board at three.
And if anyone knows that you can get a good quarterback anywhere but the top of the draft, it's the New England Patriots, who 24 years ago got Tom Brady with pick number 199. And Kevin O'Connell, his former teammate in New England, had some insights into young Tom Brady pre-TB12, pre-avocado ice cream, pre-pliability. Here's O'Connell from that same event the other night about Tom Brady's in-game habits before he had an epiphany about health and longevity.
Tom Brady was the 199th pick in the draft, almost lost his job twice at Michigan. And his rookie year, actually, he told me a story one time because he said he loved going to San Diego to play at the old Qualcomm Stadium because the hot dogs were really good. And I said, you ate a hot dog during the game? He said, oh, yeah, no, I used to walk through the concourse, go up and go to the concession stand after the team got done warming up, because he was the fourth quarterback. He wasn't suiting up for games. He'd go up, get a hot dog and a Pepsi and enjoy himself, and then come back down to the field for the game.
Hot dog and a Pepsi,
yeah,
for Tom Brady.
The good old
way
days.
Back when.
Oh, and so. then you become the starter, right? And you become the man, and then, like, preseason football especially, right, where he's not playing or he plays the first drive, you come in at halftime, and usually the training staff and the equipment people have hot dogs so they can have a little snack, right? They've gone a little while. And the quality players or the starters who aren't playing anymore, you always know where that is. So, like, if you're the starting quarterback in a preseason game, you walk in the locker room, you know where preseason hot dogs are going to be, and you're going to go back into that little room and, man, have a hot dog, you know, in the locker or as you're walking on the field for the second half and you're watching all the other guys stress out that they're trying to fight for their job in the third quarter of the preseason game. Man, nothing beats that. That's like football glory days right there. That's some glory hole right there. It's amazing.
just resist the temptation, Mark Sanchez, to eat the hot dog on the sideline during the game, if you remember that one.
Oh, I do. I do.
Hot dog.
Oh, yeah, there you
during
go.
During the game, right on cue.
Right.
He's trying to be subtle. I got my head down. Oh, those are just sunflower seeds. Oh, it's in October. It's not even.
So they must have been. They must have been dominating the game. I mean, this has got to be something like that.
And he's squirting mustard. He's squirting mustard on. He's trying to hide it. Oh, that's great.
He's trying to hide.
It reminds me of the old Vikings punter Mitch Berger, who used to keep a Snickers bar in his shoe. And he would eat Snickers bars during the game. Remember that?
I do remember
that. He should have gotten himself a Snickers deal. Too bad he was a punter, or maybe he would have.
He might have. You're right. You need a little snack. Hey, it's a long time out there. So, you know, again, you think about pregame warm-up. Okay, all of that, you know, into the game, and of course you haven't eaten a long time even before pregame warm-up, you can get into halftime, the third quarter of a football game, and go, whoa, I'm hungry, right? Like, man, and that's where you got to find what's right for you, whether it's the protein bar or something that can kind of just curb the appetite enough but not fill you up to where you're like, oh, I'm sluggish in the third quarter. But that's a real thing in the NFL for sure.
Years ago when I was helping coach one of my son's youth baseball teams, I believe we had a right fielder who had a hot dog that he had in his glove and he was eating it out during the game, which, you know what? Good for him.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it. I used to be stuck in right field. You know where right field is in youth baseball? That's the place where they put the kid who can't play. And I owned right field back in the day. That was my spot. And I just prayed that the ball would never come my way. And of course, I'd get distracted. I'd be looking around, and then the ball just whizzes right by me.
Of course.
Which,
yeah, you were that kid. You were that kid.
Okay. Oh, I was that kid. Yeah. I'm still that kid, and I'm proud of it. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. When we return, Dak Prescott doesn't want to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL necessarily. That and more from Prescott from the weekend when PFT Live continues right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.